This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. When the temperature's high, cool off with something chilled. It's the Sounds of Summer with Mark Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Hi there, it's Mark Lloyd from The Sounds of Summer. What a show we had today. We asked you guys, what names do you give to your pets and why do you give them those names? We also headed off to brunch with Mr. and Mrs. Brunch. We had a look at Kids App and stuff to do for the children and a brand new hotel, Indigo, opening up in Dubai.
The Sounds of Summer with Mark Lloyd.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I've got a great story for you guys today. We're having a bit of a laugh about this in the office. Zina, you love this, don't you?
Yeah, I'm still chuckling. You told me this at 10 a.m.
I did, yeah, 10 o'clock this morning. Now, you know the actor Dennis Quaid? Really good actor. I like it. I like what he's done, his stuff. But he should have no problem remembering his cat's name because he's adopted a cat that's actually named Dennis Quaid. So the actor learned of a shelter cat bearing his name in Lynchburg, Virginia. So he did what a reasonable person would do. He went along and he adopted this cat. He says, and I quote, "I just couldn't resist. I'm out to save all the Dennis Quaids of the world." And now he plans to turn the story into a non-scripted TV project called Saving Dennis Quaid.
Wow.
Can you imagine if you came across an animal that got your name, Mark Lloyd or Zina Zalamea?
Exactly. So the logical thing to do would be to adopt it.
Of course it would. And now this story got us talking about pets' names today, this morning in the office. Now, I've got a dog called Pancho. And I think the reason I was trying to think why we call him that, because he's a Pomeranian. So we thought Pancho the Pomeranian sounds
nice.
Pretty cool, you know. And I don't know, maybe he can speak Mexican or Spanish or something.
Spanish.
But he's called Pancho, is my dog. You've got a pet story as well from your days back in college.
In high school, actually, yes, I had a pet snake. It was a garter snake and I named it Sonia after our vice principal because I thought she acted exactly like a snake. She would slither into the classrooms unnoticed, take down names, and then before we knew it, we would be called into the principal's office. We didn't even know the reason. So
right.
It was her. She
Sonia
was
the snake.
Silently observing us. Sonia the snake.
I love that one. We're going to go to the telephone lines right now, where I've got Nobby joining us on the phone. Good afternoon, Nobby. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. Yourself?
Very good, sir. Looking forward to the weekend. Now, when it comes to pets, I believe you've got a few goldfish.
I used to have, yeah. I had four goldfish in a tank. I had one larger than the others.
Yeah.
So, my favourite movie of all time is Jaws.
Okay.
So, I decided to call the three smaller ones Brody, Quint and Hooper.
All right.
And the larger one, Bruce, is Mr. Spielberg. He called the Chuck.
I just love that. So you got the whole cast of Jaws in one goldfish bowl, right?
Exactly, sir. And it was pretty fun coming home at night, sitting in,
having a chat, yeah, having a chat with a.
We've still got four fish still there.
Yeah, so these are all characters then from your favourite movie, Jaws. I remember when that film came out. It was absolutely magnificent. It was like something you'd never seen before, wasn't it?
It's the greatest film of all time, and I really, really, really hope they don't remake it.
No, don't do it again. What, have you got any pets at the moment then, Nobby?
No, sir. No. When I was back home in the UK, I had a snake, the California king snake. Nonsense then, no.
All right, Nobby, thanks for your call. I just love that. All named after the characters from Jaws in one goldfish bowl. We're going to go to line two where Zoe joins us on the show. Good afternoon, Zoe. Tell me about your pet names.
Hi there. We have a cat called Colin, who's named after Colin Fletcher, who's my grandmother's first husband. They married when they were 18 and he unfortunately died in World War II. So I used to speak to her a lot about it when I was a kid.
Right, so that stories of Colin the cat.
Yeah.
I just love that one. Colin the cat. And is he still going strong, our Colin?
He is still going strong. He's actually moving back to Devon with us.
Is he really? Okay, so he's going to be off on a bit of a trip.
I know. I don't think he's ever felt wet grass on his paws.
Oh, that'll be amazing. Thanks for your call, Zoe. Colin the cat. We're loving that one. We're going to line number three, where Paul joins us on the show. Paul, a very good afternoon. Let's hear your cat name or pet name.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, my name, cat name was Ugly.
Ugly? Why would you call a cat Ugly?
So, yeah, I mean, this was years ago in England.
Yeah.
We adopted this little cute cat. It was an Angora. And we had in the bedroom a little mirror on the floor. And I woke up one morning and the cat was hitting at itself with its tail outright and all fluffed up. And so we thought, well, obviously, it must be an ugly cat. So, we named it Ugly. And then...
So what did the neighbours think when you were calling your cat in? You know, hey, Ugly, can you come home?
It was quite embarrassing. So, yeah, exactly that. Out of the front door.
It's amazing what people call their pets, isn't it? Well, Paul, have a great day, and really appreciate you joining us on the show. We had another one. Twins Bob and Terry from The Likely Lads. Nugget, which was a month old, fell out of a Dewa pipe. And also Binny, that I found in a bin, coming in from one of our listeners. Maria, thanks for your message. Lucy Fur is your cat's name, because I thought she looked like Lucy from Scarlett Johansson's movie. I added the fur because she had not much fur, so she's got fur now. So Maria, thanks for your message. Also Vivek as well. Lopez is your favorite pet name, as you are a crazy fan of Jennifer Lopez. Thank you, Andrew, for your message. Used to have neighbours who called their two cats Thunder and Lightning. Sounded really funny when they were calling them in to eat at night. And we got another pair here from Vina. Named our lovebirds Belle and Beau. It meant beautiful and handsome in French. Going to go to line one. Daniela joins us on the show. Good afternoon, Daniela. You've got a fair old story. Tell me about your cats.
Good afternoon, Mark. Lovely to speak to you. We picked up a cat in the garden, and just at the beginning of COVID, and decided to name him Virus.
Oh dear. What did he feel about that?
He didn't like it, apparently. We even had animal whisperers checking it out with him, because he never responded to his name.
Right.
The other people did when we called him, but not the cats.
Okay. So you called him Virus, which he didn't like. So we got the cat whisperers in there. Is he still called that, or have you changed it?
No, we had to change it. Somebody said, I think he needs something a bit more royal, so we chose Prince. And he changed his whole personality. He became very royal, very regal.
Really?
And he loved it. Yeah, it's really weird.
He's not a purple-coloured cat, is he? After the rock star Prince. But yeah, I'm glad you've got a very happy, regal and royal-sounding cat now. So what does he do with his day? Is he just pottering around the house?
Well, we've also ended up getting a puppy.
Okay.
So between the puppy and him, they're chasing each other with pleasure, not with fighting.
So we've got Prince the cat. What's the puppy called?
Bella.
Bella. Oh, that's a nice name, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what cheesed him off, actually. He had the name Virus. Bella turns up. It just wasn't going in his favour.
Yeah, he didn't like that, did he? Daniela, great to chat with you this afternoon. Have yourself a great weekend. And a rumour joins us on line number two. Aruma, good afternoon to you once again.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Let's talk some pets then. What is your pet's name, or was it maybe when you were growing up?
Was it? Yes, it was a was. So we've had the same name for generations, from back when my mum had pets as a child.
Yeah.
And there's no history as to why the name is there, but yeah, we've just kind of stuck with Jimmy all through.
So, Jim,
so every pet we've had has been called Jimmy.
I'll tell you, I hope you don't have two pets at the same time, as they're both called Jimmy. They won't know who you're talking to, will they?
That's true.
So you don't know. There's no, like, great history. You've not got any great grandfathers that were called Jimmy or anything like that.
No, I know my mum is a big fan of Jim Reeves, but I don't think that's the reason she's called her first pet Jimmy, that kind of stuck and just continued through generations.
That's the first time I've heard that. You know, usually when you get a new pet, you call it a new name, don't you? But you stick with the same formula of Jimmy.
Yeah, old habits die hard, I guess.
I guess they do. Have you got any pets at the moment?
No, I am looking to foster. So I've been kind of actively looking around to see if I can foster some pets.
Okay, cool. Well, Aruma, thanks as ever for having a chat with me this afternoon. Really
appreciate it. Weekend.
Yeah, same to you, Aruma. Have a brilliant weekend. And yeah, Jimmy, I'm sure probably 1,000 dogs come running when you call out Jimmy.
This is The Sounds of Summer with Mark Lloyd.
On Dubai i103.8.
The weekend around the corner, of course, and what are the kids going to be doing?
Just for Kids.
And joining us on the line is Karim Bidas, who's the founder of KidZap. Karim, a very good morning to you, or good afternoon, I should say, to you. How are you doing?
Great, Mark. It's good to be back on the show with you again.
It's a pleasure. So just before we get into it, KidZap, just give me a little bit of background on what it's all about.
Okay, so KidZap is an app that's all about connecting parents to enriching activities for their families.
Yeah.
I think every month we help tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of parents in the UAE find the best places to take their kids, the most enriching places, and we also help them save through some amazing deals.
Brilliant. So you've got a few recommendations of what we might be getting up to with our kids over the weekend, starting with a story time at the theatre at the Mall of the Emirates.
Yeah, actually, it's with two of our favorites that we've worked with before, Magic Phil and Emma Quentin.
Okay.
They're running some story time sessions there at the theatre, which is just at the top, the third floor of Mall of the Emirates. They're really creating a nice community there. Emma Quentin is doing something more educational. She's reading some of the kids' classics like Julia Donaldson and Roald Dahl, who's absolutely my favorite. That's every Saturday to Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Phil is a one-off. So Emma Quentin is, you'll pay 60 AED per session, and you can find all the booking details through KidZap. Magic Phil is a one-off tomorrow. He's doing two shows, one at 11 a.m. and one at 2 p.m. With Magic Phil, there's always a bit of education, but of course there's a lot of laughter and magic in there as well.
Cool. Okay, so there's a couple of things up at the theater there at the Mall of the Emirates. Now, if we go online, I believe we can learn some online coding?
Yes, and what better way is there to learn coding than in your house, in your own time? And, you know, we worked with this fantastic business. They've got a software called Hello Code.
Yeah.
And it basically takes your children to the different levels of coding in a very interactive way with videos talking to them and very active support. We've got a good deal for that. It's only 299 AED per level, which is usually about a term. You know, this is the kind of thing I wish I would have had when I was younger. It's so much fun. I've seen the kids doing it during our summer pass, and they really enjoyed it, and everybody just wanted more and more coding.
What kind of age group is that aimed at, would you say?
So actually, they start at all ages. I mean, they go down as young as 5 or 6. We've got some videos that are very cartoony, and they can go up all the way up to teen years as well.
Cool. All right.
And even adults can do it, actually.
Okay. Now, Children's City is another location. What's going on over there?
Oh, if you just check it out on our app, I think you're going to want to go. It looks like there's so much fun stuff happening there. It's an educational, kind of an edutainment center in Burj Dubai. They've got an earth science gallery, a planetarium. Mm-hmm. What's really amazing about it is it's set up for kids. So the kind of stuff we used to see as kids, but was really more set up for adults. This is targeting kids directly, and it's so affordable. The whole family, they have a ticket for 40 dirhams.
Wow, that's super, isn't it? And where can we find Children's City again?
It's in Burj Dubai, Creekside.
Cool. Okay. Now, if we want to take the trip to Sharjah, the Sharjah Science Museum is always being talked about, and I'm sure the kids are going to learn a lot there as well.
Yeah, so this is more of your typical museum that has some kids-type interactive science activities as well. There's some fun hands-on experiments that they can do. They've got displays around the laws of nature, physics, aerodynamics, and the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Again, very affordable. It's, you know, five dirhams for kids and 10 for adults. Another recommendation from us.
Okay, Green Planet, of course, if we want to see some rather exotic animals up close and personal, you can find that on City Walk.
Absolutely, and I've recommended this place before, and I recommend it to everybody, and it might be because me and my kids are passionate about animals, but we actually went there this weekend. We bought our own deal through Kids App. It's an amazing price on offer right now, and you get to see the really cool things that they have these days is they've got a sloth.
Yeah.
And you get to see the sloth up close, and you see how it interacts with the plants around it and with their kind of handlers. And they've got a new anteater that they're just familiarizing with the environment. And the nice thing about it is because, you know, it's kind of, we're coming out of a closed period and everything, and there's not that many tourists in the UAE, you get to really spend time there. You can talk to the handlers who are so knowledgeable. They can tell you all about the animals and their normal background habits. And you also get to see them in a way that you wouldn't normally see before. One of the things I liked is also that the anteater, it's new. So you're seeing them trying to settle it in. And it's really fascinating watching these small creatures up close.
Great. Green Planet, yeah, has certainly made its mark in Dubai. Finally, I want to talk about Back to Learning at the Galleria. What's this all about?
Okay, so, I mean, of course, all the malls have great deals, like, Dubai Festival City Mall of the Emirates. But what really caught our eye is what they're doing in Abu Dhabi. So if you're a visitor from Abu Dhabi over here right now and you're listening, or if you're planning to go there on the weekend, or if you're a commuter, you know, there's a few of those, and you can brave the borders, then what they've got something very innovative, and I think they're one of the earliest to come up right now with a very focused back-to-school campaign. You've got great discounts on stationery, backpacks, lunchboxes, of course.
Yeah.
A kids' clothes discount, even like furniture, study desks. There's a Kinokuniya store there, one of my favorite bookstores, and I think the kids can spend hours there. They've got discounts. They're also doing something that I think will help all parents, where if you spend 500 dirhams there, you get a complimentary back-to-school pack. You know, all the essentials, water bottle, lunchbox, and of course these days, sanitary masks and sanitizer.
Cool. Okay, so that's Back to Learning at Galleria. Just coming back to Kids App, where can we download it from and where can we get it?
So Kids App is available both on the Apple Store and on the Google Play Store. That's Kids App, kids with a Z, KIDZAPP.
Yep.
Download it. It's free and it's super easy to use. You just log in, register, and then you just start booking away and saving money.
Sounds fantastic. Karim, some great ideas of things to do over the weekend. Really do appreciate your time this afternoon.
This is The Sounds of Summer with Mark Lloyd. Now, baby, can't
stop this baby started. On Dubai I 103.8.
Yeah, of course, hotels. We've got lots of them in the city, but we've got another one that's going to be the new kid on the block and joining our list of hotels that we can visit throughout the week and the weekends. And it's in downtown. It's called Hotel Indigo. And joining us is their general manager, Laura Eggleton. Laura, a very good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. A very good afternoon to you too.
Thanks for joining us on the show. So, a brand new hotel on the block. Let's get a little bit of the lowdown on it. Give me some details of the Indigo.
Okay, so Hotel Indigo is part of the InterContinental Hotels Group portfolio.
Yeah.
And sits under the luxury and lifestyle brand Halo.
Okay.
Hotel Indigo is the fastest growing boutique brand in the world, and the Hotel Indigo Dubai Downtown is scheduled to open in October, and it's the first Hotel Indigo in the region, thus of course a new flagship for the brand.
Cool. So the first flagship, as you say, for the brand opening up in Dubai. When are you looking at opening the doors?
The 1st of October we're scheduled for.
Okay. And what kind of clientele are you going to be attracting? You're in Dubai downtown, you know, is it very much for the local population? Is it for travellers once things open up again? Of course, it's not been the greatest time for hotels throughout the summer, but hopefully things will start to pick up. I mean, who are you looking to attract to your hotel?
So at Hotel Indigo, we serve the curious, people who are inspired by new places, new people and new ideas. You can find our hotels in the world's most inspiring places, including London, New York, Phuket and Bali, along interesting streets where there's always something new to see. So as part of the brand philosophy, we consciously bring what's outside our doors inside, drawing on the story of the local area to inspire every aspect of each hotel. So our brand is refreshingly unique, from intriguing design touches, distinctive local ingredients on the menu, and many more. So each of our hotels is designed off the back of the neighbourhood story. In our case, this is a story detailing the evolution of the Dubai Creek.
Okay, I like that. And so you're incorporating some of the history of this city, which sometimes can get lost, can't it, in hotels?
Absolutely, but not in the case of us. So we have drawn inspiration from the idea of the creek extending into Business Bay, and therefore Business Bay becoming a part of the creek and thus the wider neighbourhood.
All right. Tell me about, you know, opening a hotel and the pre-opening. I mean, you know, we're a couple of months away now to October when you're going to open your doors. What goes on behind the scenes? You know, what happens to get to that point where you can open up?
Oh, goodness me. Where to start? There's always something going on. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, of course, we're looking at all aspects of the hotel, from the finances, the HR, embedding the brand, naming the outlet. Obviously, the design is taken care of through the interior designers, but how we're going to embed the service philosophy, etc., and bring the brand to life in this new neighbourhood.
It must be really exciting, though, you know, being part of an opening team of a hotel.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's definitely the best experience of my career so far.
Tell me a little bit about that career and where it started for you, Laura, in hotels.
So I'm from the UK, a town called Crawley in West Sussex. And when I was very young, I started as a Saturday girl working in a local hotel. And ever since then, I've always worked in a hotel.
You've loved it.
I've loved it. I absolutely love it. The whole expression, if you do a job you love, you never work a day in your life. I've probably worked about 10 days in my whole career.
It's true, isn't it? Crawley, lovely part of the world. I remember going over there on a press trip once to Virgin Atlantic. They had their headquarters in that little town.
They do indeed. You're right, yes.
Which is brilliant. So what brought you out to Dubai? Why did you want to come out and manage Indigo in Dubai?
Well, I was actually, previously, I was taking care of a hotel in Muscat in Oman.
Yeah.
And I had my heart set on the Hotel Indigo Dubai, and I needed to run the hotel. That was my ambition. So I saw the press release that the hotel was opening, and I called our VP, and I said to him, I need to have that job. And he said, steady on, Laura. And I said, no, please. And then here I am.
I'm the woman for you. I'm the woman for this job, yeah?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, as I mentioned at the start of the interview, we've got a lot of hotels, you know. I mean, how do you make yourself stand out, and, you know, how do you make attract people to come to your particular hotel, Laura?
Well, of course, the design is incredible, and it's unique to anything that you would have ever seen anywhere before, be that a Hotel Indigo in the world or, of course, hotels in Dubai. So we've really brought the story to life. And in addition to the meticulous design details, which makes us interesting and unique, we're also non-smoking, we're pet-friendly, and we've got a heavy focus on fitness and lifestyle throughout. I should also point out that we also bring the neighbourhood into the hotel through our operation, be that working with local suppliers or partnering with local brands. And we've actually got 200 pieces of original art that we've sourced through the Tashkeel Initiative and the Al Serkal Foundation. So it's a hotel come art gallery. So it's really quite exciting.
Nice. I love that. I love the touches. And I love that you're pet friendly. It's funny, we're talking about pets on the show today and why we name the names of our pets and the reasons behind them. We're getting a lot coming in. So I'm sure you're going to be, welcoming a lot of pet owners as well into your hotel.
Oh, we're really hoping so. We're just, you asked what we've been doing. Part of pre-opening is obviously making sure that we've got comfortable beds and treats for the dogs and cats and everything else that we're hoping to see come through. So that's actually on my to-do list.
That's the most important job, Laura, isn't it? Making sure our four-legged friends are okay. Well, we wish you well, Laura, for the opening, and we'll certainly pop down and have a look at Hotel Indigo. You say you're in downtown. Exactly whereabouts are you going to be?
So we're just located just a stone's throw from the Dubai Mall, just in the Business Bay district.
Cool. Lovely. Well, we look forward to October. Can't wait for it to come along and visit Hotel Indigo. Laura Eggleton, have yourself a great weekend. And thank you so much for joining us.
You too. Thanks for having me. And we look forward to seeing you at Hotel Indigo post 1st of October.
It may be hot, that these tunes are cool.
The Sounds of Summer with Mark Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yes, indeed. Thursday afternoon, and with the weekend in mind, of course, brunches are a big deal. And, well, I've got an expert joining me on the line right now from Mr. and Mrs. Brunch. One half of that dynamic duo is AJ, who joins us on the show. A very good afternoon, AJ. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you? I'm great, thank you.
So, how did you get to become Mr. and Mrs. Brunch? When did it all start?
Well, I have to apologise for Mrs. Brunch's absence. She's actually a teacher, so she's busy preparing her classroom.
Okay.
But Mr. and Mrs. Brunch, it just started organically, really. We were going out most nights, most evenings, and I think our record is going out to six brunches in a whole week. People started just asking us for our advice 7 years ago. So Mr. and Mrs. Brunch was born out of our love for blogging, our love for each other, and our love for giving helpful tips. And
oh, that's lovely, that, isn't it? You didn't meet at a brunch, did you?
We actually did.
I love it.
It was a brunch on a boat. So, the name just it was very apt.
What's Mrs. Brunch's name?
Mrs. Brunch is Lucy. Lucy
Mel. Lucy. Okay, so AJ and Lucy, you are Mr. and Mrs. Brunch. Just love it. I mean, you know, if you said you were going at 1.6 a week, so you really know your onions then, pardon the pun, when it comes to brunches. So point me in the direction, let's get started with a family brunch.
Yeah. I mean, just to start off with, I mean, it's important to really frame this discussion in our current climate. The very idea of brunch and socialising has changed because,
of course,
obviously the COVID-19. So the brunches that I'm going to highlight in the three categories are not your traditional go-to headline brunches, but they're something that we find have a unique selling point that take their overall proposition from maybe a 3 or 4 star to a 5 star. So they're really keen. The first one in the family brunch, and it's your traditional one at Bread Street Kitchen, because obviously just the first one is the food. They do a live cooking competition, and then obviously you get access to the Lost Chambers. So that's always great for families.
Yeah, that's great. I've walked past that restaurant a few times and never actually dined in there. Of course, it's a Gordon Ramsay one, isn't it?
It is a Gordon Ramsay one, but not scary for the kids. He's actually really good with kids, if you've seen him on TikTok with his young daughter. So that's always a great one that we get asked about and we recommend.
Yeah, he is. I think with kids, as you say, he's brilliant. But, you know, with the grown-ups now and again, he can lose it a little bit. So that's a nice one then to take the whole family to, of course. Bread Kitchen. What else have you got up your sleeve?
So there's a couple more. These ones are actually brand new. So there's La Tavolata, which is at Studio One, which is in our neck of the woods, at Latte Restaurant. And the unique thing about this is that they have a real focus on kids being separate from their parents. The parents can come and enjoy the Italian food, and then there's a screening room with popcorn and games room with things like the PS4 and mini bowling.
Okay.
Loads and loads of things for each child to do, and kids go free when an adult pays.
And this is called, is this the Beano brunch?
No, that's La Tavolata. The Beano brunch was actually next on my list. That's the new one from Simon Rimmer at The Scene.
Okay.
So that one is typical British food. Kids are encouraged to dress up. And I mentioned about the restrictions before. A lot of your traditional family brunches that you would say, like Nomad, Al Padia, which is sadly no longer with us, Barbalicious and the Family Fest at Caesars, they are all about kids getting up and being able to run around and socialise and out to castles and face paintings. And a lot of those restaurants have scaled back, understandably, because of the conditions. But the Beano brunch is the first one that we've seen try and bring back some of these elements. So they have famous Disney characters coming up, balloon bending, arts and crafts, loads of things for kids to do.
Great. Some ideas for the families then. What about a group of mates and friends? What would you recommend there?
So again, we've gone for three. One traditionally is Lucky Voice, because everyone likes a bit of karaoke and a sing-along. Unfortunately, the karaoke hasn't started up just yet, but they do have live music as well. So there's that one. There's a brand new Saturday brunch at Rass Beach Vibes, which is called Saturdays, and that is an unbelievable party vibe. They've got jerk chicken, they've got curry goat, and they've got an amazing DJ called DJ Superfly.
Oh, cool.
He plays things like reggae and dancehall and everything urban. So that's a really, really fun Saturday one. And it's a bit later in the day from 4 till 7.
Okay, that's Saturdays with a Z, I think, isn't it? And where will I find Ras Beach?
Ras Beach is at Club Vista Mare on the Palm.
Right, gotcha.
The restaurant down there, it's on the far-hand side on the right.
All right, and I think you've got one more for us as well.
One more, and it's called Naughty Noodles Brunch, and this is at Made in Shanghai, yeah. We were actually at this one last week, and the reason why I think it's so great is because usually party brunches, not all, focus on the food. Focus on the party and not so much the food.
Mm-hmm.
This managed to get a really great balance of both. So we've got award-winning Chinese gourmet, and the last hour is like nothing I've seen before in Dubai. And they have a real, I won't give too much away, but a sparkling show with, let's say, unlimited bubbles in the last hour. It really turns it up a notch. So
Naughty Noodles.
Naughty Noodles at Made in Shanghai, and that's at the 5, also on the Palm.
Cool. Okay. Let's wrap up with something. Maybe you just want to go out with your wife or your girlfriend. Something for the couples.
So this is our area of expertise, because as we go out as Mr. and Mrs. Brunch, this is what we this is how we started, and this is what we do. So
yeah.
I'd say top three are Canteen de Fourberg, which is in the Jumeirah Etihad Towers. The reason why it's quintessentially French, it's a bit kooky, but it's very romantic. They've got dim pink lighting, and there's actually a bed in the restaurant as well, so you can let your imaginations go there. And the staff actually dress up in PJs as well, so that's a really great romantic like, the food spectacular as well.
Alright, so we can get our head down and have a little bit of a sleep in between courses perhaps at that one. What else have you got?
So there's a brand new one, I've seen a sneak peek of this. It hasn't launched yet. It launches on Thursday, the 10th of September. And this is called Noir Night Brunch, and it's at the Kempinski Mall of the Emirates. So it's a brand new concept, and it's also by a brand new company called Be More Than. Now, they are all about the experiences. So they have things like, it's an abstract contortionist. They have show pieces that are brought to the table. So while it is very much a sit-down, date-night feel, mm-hmm. it's very interactive. So great for conversations, especially if you're going on a first date.
Yeah, nice. All right. So
top one.
Great ideas for couples there. Are you heading out this weekend for a brunch?
We head out every weekend, but probably better safer to ask us which weekends we're not heading out. We're heading to a Thai brunch at the Intercontinental in the Marina on Friday, and then on Saturday we're going to Puerto 99, which is on Blue Waters. So a busy weekend ahead.
Fantastic. Well, Mr. Brunch, it's been fabulous chatting to you. I've certainly learned a lot about places that I need to go at the weekend. And have a goodie. And if you ever have a weekend off and don't go to a brunch, let me know and I'll interview you again about what you're going to be doing.
Thanks, Mark. Can I also just say before I go,
you've
got a lovely little dark black rescue cat, and her name's Darthy. Obviously named because of Darth Vader in the Star Wars.
Darthy! So, what a brilliant name. That's fantastic. Thanks so much, AJ, and also the Mrs. and Darthy as well. Mr. and Mrs. Brunch. Don't you just love that?
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.